we hear the word addiction, our minds instantly go to drugs, alcohol, maybe even sexual addictions that people have. But the word addiction goes a lot deeper and a lot further than that. We can be addicted to a variety of things. Hopefully you're addicted to listening to Life Talks podcast. And but today we are going to focus on some of these other addictions. And it would apply what we're going to talk about to the drugs and alcohol that I started out with as well. But we kind of want to talk about addiction and how it affects people's lives every day. I'm Britt Nipper, Life Talks producer, sitting in once again with Pastor Dan Burrell. Dan, it's great to be back with you.
Britt, thanks for joining me today. And as we talk about this, I would like to ask our listeners to just kind of relax a little bit and open up their minds. Again, like you mentioned, sometimes there are stereotypes attached to addiction where we think, well, you know what, I'm not a candidate for rehab. You know, I don't have any times where I'm blacking out and I don't remember what was going on, or where, you know, I'm engaging in something that's illegal or immoral because of my addiction. But you know, Scripture warns us that we need to be careful about what we give control over in our lives.
Yeah. You only have one master, right?
We only have one master. And the reality, you know, Scripture says to make sure we're filled with the Spirit. It says don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And the idea here is not necessarily just the issue of getting drunk and being addicted to alcohol, but more importantly, it's who's in charge, who's in control of you. And anything that gets between you and the control that God desires in our life through His Holy Spirit and through truth becomes problematic for the believer. It doesn't damn us because we are free. At the same time, it diminishes us. And we need to be, obviously damnation is a huge concern, mm-hmm. but diminishment ought to be as well, because we'll never reach our full purpose and potential in Christ until we win this battle. So that's kind of why I want to talk about it today.
So let's just begin on some of these broader addictions that you're wanting to pinpoint and focus in on today, because some people may have them and not know them or not realize that what mm-hmm. they have isn't addiction.
Sure. I think we have to be aware that just about anything can become an addiction. The easy ones are alcohol and drugs or sexual addictions, pornography and so forth. But lesser addictions, ones that are more socially acceptable, might include being addicted to social media, being addicted to your telephone, texting, being addicted to shopping or spending money, whether it is, in-person shopping or impulse buying, or whether it's, you know, if you've got an Amazon package arriving at your house every day, my friend, you may have a problem, all right?
What is it, Pastor, say you've stopped preaching and started meddling?
Right. For others, it could be television or Netflix. You know, if you open up Netflix on your TV and the next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Here's one that a lot of men don't want to admit to, and that is gaming. If we recaptured the hours the average American male spends gaming and put those towards something more productive, our world would be a completely different place. And there's a reason why we look for these escapes. There are reasons why they overcome and take us, which, you know, hopefully we'll have some time to explore. But we need not to normalize them, and we need to be very, very careful about rationalizing them.
So we're throwing out the word addiction. We're talking about all of these addictions that people could have, Amazon and all these things that people may find humorous but are true addictions. How do I know it's an addiction? What are some of those signs that it is an addiction? Because I like to sit around and watch some Netflix, so am I addicted to it? How do we know if I have that addiction?
Sure. Well, and I want to make sure we understand something. I'm not saying that it is wrong to have a Facebook account or an Instagram account. I'm not saying that it is wrong to, you know, sit down with your wife and watch a few episodes of something on Netflix. What I'm saying is watch out for addictive behaviors, and whether it's eating or playing or sports or gaming or all these things, they have the potential to come into this area of addiction. So there are three C's that therapists would tell you to watch out for. The first is the loss of control over the amount of time or the frequency you're engaging in this activity. So if you notice that you have to repeatedly pick up your phone when you're out with your family, when you're sitting in church, maybe even when you're at home watching a television show and you're checking how many likes you got or how many people noticed something on Instagram or whether or not you have an email or a new text. And that is at some level introducing your ability to focus on something else for any extended amount of time. That's a sign because you've basically lost control over what you let occupy you. The research today says that the typical person is, and it varies. I mean, I can, you know, what they say about research, but there are multiple things that are saying that some people cannot leave their phone alone for more than 3 minutes at a time. Even the most generous ones, you know, it's like 7 or 8 minutes. So that means we're checking our phone, 10 times an hour.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And I will tell you this, I struggle with these. Mm-hmm. I tend to be compulsive. We're going to talk about some of the signs of it in our life later on, but I rationalize it, and in doing so,
sign of being addicted to something, right?
Exactly.
You make resolution.
So we deny any effort at following resolution. So loss of control is one. Number two would be craving and compulsively using something. So it's if you experience panic because you're not able to approach it. I kind of tell this story. It's a little bit of a joke, but I was at a concert with my wife one night. It was an outside concert down at the Duke Power Plant near my house, and it was the Symphony on the Green. And we brought lawn chairs and a cooler, and it was a beautiful summer evening. And we just plopped down there in our chairs and got a good seat. And I reached down, it was probably an hour before the concert was to start. I reached down to grab my phone, and it wasn't there. And Julie noticed, and she looks over at me and she goes, "What's wrong?" And I go, "Oh, I forgot my phone in the car." And so I sat there, probably made it a good 3 minutes when I said, hey, I'm going to run and use the restroom right quick before the concert starts. And she looks over at me, raises her eyebrows and says, "You're going to go back to the car and get your phone, aren't you?" And go, "Yep." And that's what I did.
You probably would have been more comfortable sitting there completely naked than without your phone. That's the way it feels, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I really had panic about it. I mean, it was irrational. And I did go get my phone. I'm not, I'd like to tell you I resisted the temptation and enjoyed the concert and revealed new things. No, I went and got my phone. But there is a panic that comes with it. When the internet goes out, I've seen people absolutely melt down. And one of those people I've seen is me because I feel disconnected. I feel abandoned.
What if I miss something?
What if I miss something?
Right? Yeah. FOMO.
So, and then the third thing is continued use in the face of adverse consequences. So even though your wife is frustrated or your husband is frustrated with you, I've done marriage counseling for newlyweds, literally newlyweds, married less than 6 months, where the woman came in tears saying, "My husband wants nothing to do with me physically." And I said, "Really? You're on your honeymoon, basically." And she said, "Given the choice to come to bed at a decent hour with me and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games, he'll choose the video games every single..." She felt abandoned. Mm. And he kind of looked at it and he goes, no, I love you. I love our physical relationship. I love all those things. He was in complete denial about it, even unaware. But the problem was he wouldn't give them up. He literally would not give them up. So we have to be very conscious of when people confront us and we continue, that's the sign that we may be addicted.
Let me say, and I'm not trying to guilt anyone out there, but after we had our first child, I used to have an Xbox and I played a good amount. And a few years after we were married, I played for a little while. But then once we had our first child, I just had this huge realization of I have a choice to make right now. Either I'm going to spend time with my wife and child or I'm going to spend time playing video games. Because games nowadays aren't like they used to be. You used to be able to pick up a game, play Super Mario Brothers for 20 minutes, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Games nowadays, you have to spend hours on end to get good, to play online, to play. It's an investment. And it, like you said, it's an addiction. And so you have to make that choice. And husbands, make the choice for your wives and for your families because you can't do both. So I ended up selling my system because I knew I wouldn't have the time and I needed to get that out of the house.
And we're going to refer back to that too because what you took was a radical move. You literally removed it from your house. I know men who have become so addicted to video games that they had to have rehab to get out of it, and they cannot be in the same room or in the same house with the gaming system.
Yeah, and I've learned that I may not hit all of these signs that you just discussed, but I know that I have an addictive personality, which is why I've never had a drink before, and I've never, because I know if I start it, it won't just be one. Because I'll sit down and take a bite of ice cream, and before I know it, the pint's gone. I just have to eat all. When I enjoy something, I just want to do it over and over and over again.
And that self-awareness, by the way, is really, really crucial, because not everybody has addictive personalities, and not everyone is influenced by the same impulses. So where you say, I could eat the entire gallon of ice cream, I'm not a big ice cream eater. So that's not a big deal. But if you put, you know, a bag of Reese's or peanut butter M&Ms in front of me, that's my weakness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for you and I, alcohol is not something that is part of our lives. So it's, you know, I can be around it. I know other people who, when they go to a restaurant, say, I need to be seated as far away from the bar as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to look at it. I don't want to see any other people, because that is their. So being aware, being cognizant of the fact that you have this tendency. And by the way, don't deny that every single person has an area that is vulnerable that Satan would like to use to enslave us. And it's not the same for everybody, whether it's sex or money or power or celebrity or chemicals. And ultimately, it does come down to chemicals, because every time you get a good impulse or whatever, your body gives you a little endorphin rush or a little dopamine hit in your brain. And for some people, that addiction is as powerful as if you were taking crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's research that shows that for some men, pornography can be every bit, because of the dopamine hit that comes with pornography and the sexual act that usually is attached to it, that it becomes an addiction at the level of crack cocaine. Now, not every man, but then again, some people can have a glass of wine and it's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But for some people, a glass of wine leads to blackout.
Yeah.
So being self-aware on that, and understand this is a satanic issue. Right and wrong, sin, freedom and bondage, these are all spiritual issues as well. And the best way to fight them is to recognize the multi-dimension aspect of it. It's not just a physical problem. It's not just a character problem. And it's not just a spiritual problem. It is all of these things combined, because God created us holistically. But the only solution to it is to be honest and to seek truth and pursue that. And that is why the spiritual component is such an important part of it.
And it sounds radical to hear you say it's a satanic issue for me to check my phone constantly.
Yeah.
But in truth, it is. It's taking you from something.
It's taking you from something good and replacing it with something less good. But it is also about who will control you. I will tell you, it has spiritual implications for me, because like you, I kind of have when something's important to me, I want to chase it. It's kind of an obsessive compulsive type thing. And I don't want to use these technical psychological terms, because not every, you know, there's degrees of all of it. And I think, you know, we use things like ADD and obsessive compulsive and, you know, OCD type terminology inappropriately. Sometimes it's just a matter of we got some self-discipline and to be able to step up and say, you know, this is a struggle, this is a weakness, and I'm going to overcome it. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That verse reminds me all the time that Satan has a strategy for my defeat. If Satan has a strategy for my defeat, then conversely, God has a strategy for my victory. And if Satan wants me in bondage, God wants me in freedom. When I recognize those truths, it helps me approach the temptations of my life more maturely and more carefully. And so that's part of the reason why we need to be having conversations like this.
And let's talk a little bit more about the controlling aspect of these addictions. I know and she wouldn't mind me saying all of this. It's part of her testimony. But my wife, before she was a believer, was an alcohol addict. She was addicted to alcohol. And now she said that her days were filled with just thinking about going and having a drink. Mm-hmm. That's what her life was wrapped up in was, I can't wait to go get that next drink. That's, I just want to be numb to the world. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, found Jesus, found that salvation, and she hasn't touched a drink since. We're going on 11 or 12 years. And she knows that if she were to even take a sip at this point, she could just fall right back into it.
Right.
So she abstains from it. She knows that that's something in her life that would instantly control her again the second she messed with it. So in the name of our family, our children, in her faith as well, she said, you know what? That's not something I want a part of because it would control her life. So let's talk a little bit more about the controlling aspect of addictions.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is we have to be willing to do what you said. And that is get radical with it. You know, not everybody has to go to that extreme for everything that has the power to attract them. But some of us have attractions that are that powerful that do require us to go to that extreme. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that and acting on that. You have to do what you need to do to protect yourself in this area.
Yourself, so, not your friends and not your family who may think you're crazy for doing it, but yourself.
That's right. And until you get to that point where you're willing to drive that stake into your life and make that declaration, you're not going to be able to make the progress. That's why, you know, programs, 12-step programs, so forth, like Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to get to that point where you say, I cannot do this myself, doing the things I'm currently doing. And so, and then they have these, you know, various approaches that kind of make the announcement and start rebuilding a fresh foundation. And again, I'm not proposing AA or any other method as the only method, but I do think we need to explore those things and be willing to submit to, again, a plan for addressing this and for action. So let me just kind of give a few signs of addiction, and then let's kind of go to some strategies on approaching it. But if you find yourself irritable or argumentative when you're denied it or when it's time for that hit, that exposure, that can be like, you know, it's 10 o'clock and you're usually on, you know, Switch playing a video game, or it could be, I've known guys like this, pornography. You know, people are still at the house, time for you to go. And why do they want them to go? Because they want to be able to get to the computer, or for food. Or for, you know, haven't spent anything or whatever. I've literally known people get up in the middle of the night to indulge because they feel shame, whether it's food or pornography or even shopping. So watch for that defensiveness when confronted about it. I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah.
Those kind of attitudes. Inability to deal with stress, because sometimes addictions become comforting agents. So I have to do this because I'm stressed. Well, I'm really stressed. I need to shop. I'm really stressed. I need, you know, I need to go on the internet. I'm really stressed. I need to reach out on a text. So those stress triggers. Sometimes it's a loss of interest in things that should be a normal part of your life, like having time with your wife, spending time with your kids, being able to go out and enjoy an entire evening without your telephone, you know, those kind of things. Sometimes it's an obnoxious thing, and alcohol is a good example of that. You know, people who are going to go out for an evening, they do the pre-gaming thing. I mean, there are literally people who they don't spend so much money at the bar, they stay at home, drink the cheap stuff before they go out to the bar, and they call that pre-gaming. You know, watch out for obnoxious, silly behavior that feeds the addiction, and you're trying to normalize it. Denial is always one that we just have to be concerned about. And with denial, the other, you know, if denial is one hand, the other hand is rationalization. So we will always come up with excuses to do what we really want to do. And until we get to the point that we're willing to admit that this is not something that's good for me or right for me, then that, and that brings rationalization often is a kissing cousin to minimalization. Everybody's doing this. A lot of people have this problem. This is no big deal. So we minimalize it. Then sometimes we blame it. Well, you know, I have to do this because of some trauma in my past. And sometimes the trauma is legitimate, but the solution to the trauma is illegitimate. So if you were abused in your past, if you were attacked, or if you had experienced some huge loss, that's a legitimate trauma. It should not be ignored, and you should get therapy and counseling for that. But self-diagnosing your trauma and then giving yourself a prescription that comes out of a bottle is not a solution to that. And then diversion. So if somebody brings it up, there are many ways you can do that. One of them is flip it around on them. Well, you say I play too many video games. Well, you talk to your friends all the time, you know, and that's diversionary tactics. Or changing the subject, or hiding it. Hiding it is one of the biggest signs. because there's that shame attached. We know we've got an issue, but we don't want to deal with it. So all of those are some of those characteristics that, that we do.
I know we're about to run out of time, but let's just chat a little bit about the consequences that come along with some of these addictions and how they can affect one's life.
Sure. Well, the problem with the addiction is that it will destroy your relationships. It will rob you of time, and it will become something that, that enslaves you. And all three of those are huge problems. I mean, you ever have guilty pleasures? Yeah. One of mine is to watch Hoarders. You ever watched Hoarders on TV? It makes me feel good about my garage because as bad as it is, it isn't that bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, but you look at that and you say, how in the world did they get to that? But when you watch that show, what you see is their family can't even visit with them, nor do they want to.
Yeah.
Many times the relationships are have anger in them. You weren't a good mom because you were busy hoarding. There's humiliation, there's shame, and sometimes they eventually lose their house. It's disgusting and it has to be torn down. But all of these things, we have to understand these consequences are roadblocks to freedom. And you know, Scripture tells us, you know, in Christ we are free and we are free indeed. You're going to be free from the shame. You're going to be free from the negative consequences, and you're going to be free to engage in things that you've lost pleasure in or the ability to find pleasure in previously. So real quickly, if you identify an addictive area in your life, what do you do? Well, number one, the first step is this. You've got to admit it's a problem.
Yep.
Until you admit it's a problem, nothing's going to change. Number two, you've got to get help. You know, technically, I could remove my appendix if I needed to and had a really good YouTube video and a really strong constitution. But I don't really have any of those. So while technically it's possible, it is definitely not probable. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the doctor and say, Doc, my appendix needs to come out. Can you help me out? And they're going to be able to do it faster, easier, and without killing me.
Yeah.
And so the reality is, don't try to do for yourself what other people can do with you. And for the believer, understand this. It is our privilege to journey with others as we walk toward Christ and away from bondage and away from sin and Satan. So get that help. And the third thing is this. Don't get sucked back into it by committing the same mistakes that brought you to it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There are some things you have to excise from your life. I mean, as you know, you and I have talked about already. There are some things that I know I'm not going to touch, do, or get involved in. And I like to feel superior about those who are addicted to video games because I'm really bad at video games. I know. You know, word games, I'm good at. Video games, I can't. I've tried to learn. So that's not my weakness. I ought not feel superior, but I can give you a whole arm's length worth of weaknesses I do have and addictive behaviors that I will indulge in. And so just be aware that every one of us has this struggle. It's in a different struggle for each of us. Satan will use it to put us in bondage and destroy us. And the best help and the best hope comes from finding and living truth, and truth is found in the Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. So remember, recognize it, admit that you have an addictive problem, and then find someone to get some help. And then put up some guardrails as well. Maybe it is selling a video game system. Maybe it is deleting Facebook off your phone. Or I know this is a little radical, but give your husband or wife your password to your phone or to your computer. We do that at our home. There's nothing hidden between me and my wife.
Great
idea. They're guardrails. She can pick up my phone at any time, see what I've been looking at, see what I've been doing. I have nothing to hide. And again, we talked about that earlier. If you're hiding something, that's definitely a sign of addiction. So take it seriously. Again, it's an attack from the enemy to try and separate you from your one true master, which is Jesus Christ. That does it for this episode of Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.